Good evening, friends. I'm an alcoholic. My name is John.
Hi, John.
Get that out of the way. Make sure that's it. Don't want to make the mistake. I want to thank Karen for asking me to share tonight. I woke up this morning I've kind of been in a bad space most of today. And, when Karen phoned to ask me to share, I thought, one way to get me out of myself is get me out of a meeting and talk to and share, in a general way, my experience, strength, and hope with other alcoholics. And I didn't see it make me feel that much better the rest of the day, but now I'm here and I do feel better. And I'm grateful to be alcohol and drug free today, but I still have my alcoholism. I don't have any alcohol in my isms, but I have isms. And I still have to deal with those things on a daily basis. It takes, for me, it takes prayer and meditation. It takes the things that they so simply lay out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I don't do those things, things don't go well for me. What happened? Well, I come from a family. I'm the oldest of four children. There was alcoholism in my family. I don't know about prior to my father or my other relatives, but I know my father's an alcoholic. And gratefully, he found Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 13 years old, and he's still a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I would go on to grow and in my own disease, practice my own disease until I was 40 years old. I didn't think I had a disease. I didn't have the disease of alcoholism. I didn't believe. I didn't even believe that when I came here to my first meeting. I didn't come here because I wanted to do something about my drinking. Certainly if I listened to the first step, yes, my life was unmanageable, but I wasn't willing to admit I was an alcoholic. But an indication of how unmanageable my life was is the fact that I didn't have any friends. And at that point, I was basically in a state of very lonely. Probably if I'd gone to a doctor, I might have been diagnosed as being depressed or in a depression or something like that, but I didn't need a doctor, of course. I didn't need a lot of things. I could do things on my own. But that was just another indication of my unmanageability. From my teenage years until 40, I managed to... some things were pretty good. I was once married for 13 years, and that, I guess, that is, during those first 13 years, that's when I practiced my drinking. I got very good at it, and very good at lying and cheating, and just being a general rabble-rouser from that standpoint. But I never felt like I was really comfortable in any place, even from when I was a young child. I never felt like I fit in exactly, and I don't know why. That's a common thread that you hear in a lot of alcoholics, and I don't understand why that is, but it seems to be part of the isms. At the point of my life when I split up with my first wife, I did a lot of really things that I was ashamed of when I was in that marriage. We split up when we got married when we were both young. She was 18, I was 20. And that marriage ended when I was 33, 34 years old. And during that time, I did a lot of things that I was really ashamed of. And the reason we split up, or at least from my standpoint, I was making a a complete change in my life. I was living near Toronto. I was moving away from Toronto. I was leaving my wife and to move in with a girlfriend that I met here in Montreal. I was just everything needed to be changed. So that's what I was doing. And the odd thing about it is that I really went from it wasn't a bad situation actually, but I thought it was a bad situation into a worse situation. And but one thing I did do at that point, my drinking was taking off pretty bad, and I was with my new girlfriend one night, and we had been drinking all night, and we got into a big argument about 4 o'clock in the morning, and something like that, and she was on my ass, and I was just completely out of it, and couldn't even think to talk anymore, and couldn't even argue with her, and she told me to get out of the house and get out of her life, and which I did. And as a result of that whole evening, I quit drinking. Now, since my father had been an Alcoholics Anonymous, I called him, and he sent me a big book, and I got the big book, and I read the big book, and I quit drinking. I didn't drink. I didn't go to meetings either. I didn't need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I quit drinking. But that only lasted for about a year and a half. And I wasn't a very happy person. I got back together with my girlfriend. We actually ended up getting married. And I won't call her an alcoholic, but she and I partied together real well. The insanity of all that, I got into some pretty bad financial situations. I was working self-employed. I wasn't paying my income tax. And that relationship only lasted for about 3 years. And I was in that, 4 years actually. I was in that period where I quit drinking for a year and a half and then started drinking again. And by the end of 4 years, I was in bed. Her and I split up. I don't know. She left me. It was just a bad situation, but I didn't think it was. Anyways, that didn't stop there. I moved in with another lady. We lived together for a whole while, and then I got laid off from a job I was working on. And anyways, this progression just went. It was a lot of the little things that were up and down, and I lost a job while I was living with her, and while I was looking for another job, but. You know, I was still drinking, okay, and I was managing to make some money, but, you know, I could still go out on Friday night and on the weekend and party and drink, and but I wouldn't pay my mortgage, you know, I wouldn't pay for the hydro, I wasn't, things were unmanageable. And then I did get another job, a good job, and I moved back down towards here to Montreal from up near Gatineau. Started on this new job, and by this time the government had finally sort of caught up to me, and for not filing for my income tax. And shortly after I started this new job, I started to work for the federal government, and it was Revenue Canada that was after me. So it wasn't a big jingle late there, okay? And so I, you know, that. Came down on me, and anyways, this girl that I was living with, we were trying to build a new life, but she didn't like it down here, and so she up and left. And this was in November, late in the year, and it was a cold year, cold winter. And after she left, I wasn't drinking that much because I was still trying to, you know, I was still trying to have some manageability in my life, and so I didn't have that much money, so I was trying to pay off, feeling guilty for the debts and the shit from before, so I was taking care of that stuff, but because I didn't have much money and I was trying to have some kind of a normal life, I stayed at home a lot, and during that winter I really became quite lonely and very, very just lonely. I had no friends. I was living in I'm an Anglophone, and I don't speak French, and I was living in a community that was 99.9% Francophone, and so there was no friends, and the only people I knew were the people that I worked with. And of course, I only saw them 5 days a week. I didn't have any social life. And the net result of it is my last drunk, okay, was a situation where I went out to a bar, and you know, I never went for a drink. I never went for a drink. I went for a couple of drinks. I very, very often went for a few drinks or a couple of drinks. But as usual, I ended up staying, you know, it was getting on till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was in my work clothes, and of course, they were passing around a postcard there earlier on, before and after, and I looked like the after part, and probably, I looked at like the after part, because I asked the barmaid if she would like to maybe spend the evening with me. And she gave me the most disgusting look that I've ever received. Well, I shouldn't say it was. It's certainly the most disgusting look I ever remember seeing, anyways. Anyways, I woke up from that the next morning. She didn't come home with me, obviously. But I woke up the next morning from that, remembering that look. And I don't know, for me, hitting a bottom is not so much about where, what you've done and what you've experienced and, you know, what you've lived through or what you haven't lived through. To me, and for me at that point, I had reached the point where I was now disgusted with me. And I feel that that's how that we are at that point, or at least I was at that point, where this fellowship could do something for me, because I was willing to go someplace to get some help. And I can't say that I went at it whole hog. I was disgusted with myself. I phoned my father, and although at other occasions he had told me that I should maybe do something about looking at my drinking, I never remember these things. I remember these things after I got sober and when we would talk about it. But that day he didn't talk about my drinking. He talked about one thing, and that was that he said, "You don't have any friends." And he suggested to me that if I went to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would be able to get sober, or I would be able to get some friends. So I walked into my first AA meeting to get some friends. That's the only reason I came here. Because I still, at that point, you know, like I said, I didn't think I had a disease of alcoholism. I liked people here. I felt comfortable. I could relate to the people. Not relate on at first not on a level of alcoholism, but on a level of a person to person. Okay? I felt comfortable. And I didn't do a lot of meetings. I went to a couple of meetings, maybe 3 meetings a week. And over a period of 3 or 4 months, I started to relate to the fact that I had the disease of alcoholism. And I didn't drink a lot during that point of time, but I didn't say that I was going to stop drinking. But I came to realize that I could make my life something different than what it was. Okay? And I guess that was my spiritual awakening, is that it wasn't the AA group and the AA fellowship became my sort of higher power, because I was disgusted with who I was and where I'd been and what I'd done, and I wanted to be something different than that. I didn't want to be perfection. Sometimes I used to think I was perfection, but that was my disease. I managed to get sober, stop drinking. Like I said, it wasn't my last drink, but I consider my last drunk the night that I woke up after being at the bar. And it's been a number of years. I'm grateful for that, but my growth has not been mediocre or hasn't been fast. Sometimes it's been mediocre. But all my friends today are members and members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I still don't have that many friends that are not in this fellowship. I have a few, but not many. Even my best friends at work, there's a couple of guys that I really liked hanging around with at work at my new job, and both of them have become members of Alcoholics Anonymous. So we were friends before we were all friends before we were all members of Alcoholics Anonymous. But it's kind of unique from that standpoint. These are still the people that I hang around with. I got involved in service. I was asked to do service very early in my sobriety to be an alternate GSR, and since that time I've managed to be involved in a lot of different service. I was GSR, I worked at the district level, I was DCM for a term, and now I still like to do service. I sponsored a treatment center meeting for a number of years, and but as time has gone on, it's become obvious to me when I need to move on and do something else. And today, I have everything that I need, and sometimes I wonder why I don't have more things, but those are the things that I want. And today, what was really upsetting me was today I was trying to figure out, is something that's going on in my life, is it a need or is it a want? And I still don't know the answer to that. And I asked to be guided, at least shown the way to go. And I know when everything is good and everything is going well, it's because I'm usually not too involved in it. I try to keep back. And I don't see my life going anywhere. I don't see being anywhere else outside of down the road of not being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and not going to meetings, okay? Because even though I wasn't feeling well today, I knew as soon as Karen called and asked me if I'd share that this is where I needed to be tonight. And usually speaking, Sunday nights I like to lounge around, watch television, and get ready for the busy week at work. And this is going to be so much better for me because I've got to come here and share a few hours with the people that make me feel well and take care of me. So I'd like to thank Karen for inviting me here tonight, most of all. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for listening to me, and I hope I've said something that somebody can use someday. Have a good 24 hours.